We always think about people who do change the energy of the room, whether it be the negative energy or the positive energy. And I always thought that was other people that could do that. I never, for some reason, thought that that was me, that I could do that. So I wanted to meet with her and ask her where she got this from. How did she learn to do that? And she sets an intention, and this is the way she lives.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my honor and pleasure to be with you here on another brand new episode. And tonight, we're doing something a little bit different. It's not exactly about autoimmune, but I was so fascinated by our guest and her book that I said, let's bring it out, because I could see so many ways that it can absolutely optimize our life, regardless of whether we have a diagnosis or not, and where we are in our healing journey. And so I'll jump right into it because I found the topic fascinating. And tonight we have Sherry Lead with us, and she is the author of The 50-50 Friendship Flow. And that's a great book and challenge that we'll get into that later, because I'm so fascinated by this. I was thinking as I read the book about all the friendships I've had over the years, and some of them have faded away. I think for time, for no other reason than that, really, I just lost track of people. But her book was so fascinating to me. It brought back a lot of really wonderful memories and inspired me. I will, once the pandemic is over, I suppose I could do it with the pandemic, but we might have to jump into this idea of what this friendship flow is about. And Sherry is also survived a catastrophic car accident as well as breast cancer that resulted in a double mastectomy in her 40s. And so she knows what we're talking about when we talk about health here on the Autoimmune Hour and how precious our lives are and all of that. So I want to jump right in, Sherry, because I've got so many questions for you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's such an honor to be here. I'm very excited to speak with you and hopefully share something with your guests.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when I first got the book from your publicist, I loved it. I read it through. This is so upbeat and so positive. People here they're telling their story. And that's what's so great about it is it's not just Sherry's adventure through friendship. It's all these other people's stories. And some of them were so amazing to me what happened. But first off, I want you to just jump back and what challenged you to do this?
Yes. Well, as you mentioned, I am a breast cancer survivor. And it was during that time that I also happened to attend a girlfriend's memorial service. And at her memorial service, there were family members and friends that got up in front of the crowd and told all of us what wonderful things they learned from her, how she infected and changed their lives. And these were all great stories, things I knew this woman very well, but these were things that I had never heard about her. And while this was great, these things weren't being told to her. And so while I was sitting there, I thought, well, hey, I need to do this. I need to tell people now what they mean to me and how they've affected my life. And this happened to be between my 49th and 50th birthday. So I made a quick list of 50 women, some new acquaintances, some lifelong friends that I wanted to sit down with one-on-one to meet, to tell them what they've taught me, what I've learned from them, with the idea that everyone we meet is both our teacher and our student.
I love that. And you know what brought a tear to my eye? Because on my 50th birthday, a group of my friends gave me an amazing surprise party. And they people had flown in for this. And I say, I'm tearing up all these years later, even. And in a lot of them had heard other people's names because they didn't all live nearby, mm-hmm. but had never met. And they also told stories that some people didn't know about me. And I remember my kids attended. I have to laugh because they were hearing all sorts of stories about mom that they didn't know existed. So anyway, there was some splaining to do after that.
That's wonderful, though.
I love the idea. It meant so much to me that it still brings tears to my eyes because I love the idea that you're doing it too. And, you know, do it while the people are still here.
Yes. And many of the women I sat down with, even though I knew them, once I knew for a long time, became emotional as I told them what I saw in them and what they brought to my life. So this is something, yeah, it does bring emotions on because these are words that we don't hear from each other.
Well, I remember one, and I hopefully I'm talking about the right one. I think her name was Chanel, and her she was all about following your dreams, and you were kind of surprised what her how the turns and twists in her life, if I remember correctly.
There is a Chanel in the book, and she is the woman who lost her husband suddenly. She had an idea of creating a website because when he died, they had no wills. They, you know, she didn't know how to get into his computer. She wasn't prepared for his death, and they had a young child. And she had an idea of writing, developing a website for other women or men that found themselves in this situation. And at the time I was practicing law, so she was kind of asking me about it. And I'd say a few answers here and there, but she stuck with this idea, even though she, you know, this was not her background at all. And flash forward years later, she wrote a book about what to do, how you prepare for this inevitable situation and what you need to get your life together. So she had no background as an author, a writer, and she's now a speaker, but she had this dream and she did that. And that taught me that I don't need to be limited by maybe what I've done in the past or my current titles. You know, if I have a dream, I can go for it. I can do it, you know, as she has.
As I was reading it, I got the impression that you were pleasantly amazed at meeting her at one point in her life and then catching up with her at a different point in her life. And she'd actually done what her goals were and how that they had actually transformed into a whole new adventure for her.
Yes. And that there was a 10-year time period between when I, you know, when her husband had died and I had had contact with her on a regular basis. And when I connected with her again, 10 years later at her first book signing. And at that book signing, she mentioned that I was in her book and it made me nervous because I didn't know what she said. And I was worried that I didn't show up for her enough when her husband died. But also in that moment, she taught me that when I did find my name in the book, that at the time I was teaching fitness classes and I gave her a space to work out alone as opposed to in the group class. And just that little act meant so much to her that she was even writing about it 10 years later. So that taught me that a lot of times it's just the simple things. We don't need to do grand gestures for one another. It's just that simple step of maybe making some space for somebody.
Oh, I'm glad you bring that up because a lot of the memories I have through my healing journey from the autoimmune have absolutely been the small things, not any great heroic types of things. Although I did have some heroic medical professionals really do some amazing things for me. Yet also the ones that really bring a tear to my eye where somebody just reached out in a way just to check in on me at a particular time. Or just, I remember one gal who just had this inkling, shall I say, she doesn't consider herself clairvoyant or anything, but she just said, it's been bugging me for 3 days. I just had to call and check in. And I think it had been 2 or 3 years since I'd talked to her. And that meant so much to me. Just, I was like, okay, you know, I'm not alone.
Yes. There's actually two women in the book and we don't talk about their autoimmune disease in the book, but they are friends of mine that have autoimmune disease. And it's as somebody who doesn't, and theirs manifests in different ways, but as somebody who doesn't, it is hard for me to know sometimes how to show up for them. But I learned through my cancer journey that you mentioned earlier, the key thing is to let them know that I'm there. So I'll check in from time to time with just a quick text when I know some of their symptoms are flaring up and just say, hey, how are you? How are you doing? And before writing this book and learning these lessons, I may not have known that those little things are a lot of times enough.
Wow, absolutely. Well, more than enough, shall we say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are some other things? I want to circle back there about your own cancer journey and reflecting. What are some things that people did for you that really touched you?
It goes back to that showing up, actually. But there happens to be one woman who now I'm great friends with, and she's in the book, but we became friends on social media because we had mutual friends. Before you mentioned my car accident, I had been in a terrible car accident, had a double hip replacement in my early 40s. So I'm somebody who's been through a lot of different surgeries and medical procedures in my life. So I thought that this cancer journey was, you know, I kind of put on my hat that I can handle this.
Oh, and I think I've met, yes, put on by a helmet is the thing, phrase I've heard in autoimmune.
Yeah. And so it was one morning I was going to the doctors for either some significant diagnostic exam or receiving results. I don't remember which of the two it was, but it was significant. And I had planned to go on my own. And I woke up that morning, it felt really heavy. And I realized I wasn't sure about that day. And I just posted something little on Facebook because I was sharing my journey on Facebook. And she responded. She lives in another city than I do. And she works and she has, you know, kids. And she responded that she could come and pick me up. And she could drive me to my appointment and stay with me and bring me back home, which would have taken her whole day. And this is a woman I had never met before.
Wow.
And yeah. And that made me realize my lesson from her was that sometimes, you know, I'll sit in the background and not step up to help because I feel like it's not my place. I don't know the person well enough. And she taught me that I don't have to sit back. I could help, you know, I can offer to help. I don't have to be in a certain position in somebody's life to offer help. And so that was one of the most touching things that that happened during my cancer journey.
Wow, that's amazing and deep. I'm getting a tear to my eye here on this too. I should have brought tissues. I loved your book and I got a couple of tears in my eyes when I was reading that too, but I didn't realize how much it has affected me. I really love the concept of the 50-50 friendship flow, and we've been skirting around it a little bit, but just let's describe really what that term means.
Well, initially, so this wasn't meant to be a book. This was just my own challenge to myself. But so initially on, as I posted a little bit about these dates, I would say 1 out of 50, 2 out of 50, because I plan to meet with 50 women. But as this evolved, I realized actually this 50-50 is a give and take as we sit down one-on-one with each other. And now I'm actually doing this a second time through Zoom, but it's a give and take. It's a listening, it's a sharing. So with friends, we talk to each other, but we never take the time really to discuss or talk about our friendship or the meaning of our friendship with one another. So this 50-50 friendship flow represents that kind of give and take and the relationship that we have with each other.
Now, some people might just have swallowed really hard on that, going, oh my gosh. What were some of the things that you went, oh my gosh, when you began to think about how do you tell someone what they mean? I mean, that can be a really, oddly enough, be a really tough conversation.
It's awkward because we don't do that. It's awkward to receive compliments without throwing a compliment back a lot of times, or to downplay another person's compliment of you. We learn these habits that aren't necessarily healthy. And so it is awkward. I'll start with that. But to frame it in a challenge. So when I was able to say, hey, I've challenged myself to do this, it took away a little bit from the awkwardness because your friends want to help you complete a challenge. So to give them the framework of your reason and what you're doing, takes a little bit away, you know, takes the awkwardness away a bit. But expect it to be a new conversation that you don't normally have. It did get easier over time. It's much easier now for me to do than it was when I first started.
Well, some of my friendships that have been going for years, I'm thinking all the way back to school age time, I would have to really think long and hard. Not that I've ever taken them for granted exactly, mm-hmm. but I would have to think long and hard. I mean, it would be, could, and it, well, it would end up quite a long list. Were there ways that you learned that you were able to, like, I'm going to call it, do all that sorting?
Yes. So when I made my initial list, I did not attach what I wanted to tell that person with the list. I just wrote down the names of women that I really wanted to sit down and talk with, because I knew there was something about them that I needed to let them know. I needed to let them know what they meant to me. I just felt that. But before the date happened, I would really meditate on what I wanted to say to them. And I'd spend maybe a, you know, not sitting still, but the day before, throughout the day, I would think about them so that when I sat down with them, it was really intentional. I also thought about the way I wanted to deliver my message to them so that, you know, it came out the way I intended. So that practice alone, which I didn't realize before, really brought a lot of gratitude, because as I became intentional with these dates and thought about these different women as they came up, it was impossible actually not to have gratitude for and a recognition that, wow, all these different people are coming in and out of my life with very little on my part as far as, you know, trying to bring different people in. And it's just happening. And it's pretty amazing. It's quite beautiful when you start to focus and think about what people are bringing to your life.
Oh, absolutely. And that was kind of where I'm like, boy, this date could last for hours.
I made sure I focus on one thing. And I would say sometimes I could have picked a lot, but I would try to focus on just one aspect that I saw.
Now, I noticed in the book that the word date actually rings true for me. You said an intention to meet at a specific location, and it was not like in either of your homes types of things. It was actually in a third place, a neutral, maybe neutral ground, whatever we want to call it. How did that come about?
I love the idea of sharing a cup of coffee with someone, or sharing tea, or sharing a meal, or be it happy hour. I love the one-on-one connection. You know, it's hard to do this year, and that's why I'm doing it through Zoom the second time around. And maybe it's safer for them because they're at home when I'm telling them these things. But it felt good for me too. And it made it a little difficult for me too, because it takes a lot of time. And you don't have, if somebody did this, they don't have to meet with 50 people. They can meet with 5 or 10. Regardless, it takes time. So there's an intention there. And for me, at the time, I really wanted it to be a little bit difficult, because this meant a lot to me.
I can tell that as I'm reading the book and how it's written. And I like that it tells the story of each one of these women. And I was really impressed with how it went through how their lives had changed. Because I'm a big fan of proponent. When you get a diagnosis, you just feel like all of a sudden there's an end stop, a big gate goes across in your life. And sometimes you begin to feel, and a lot of times the doctors will give you stats where it almost seems as if they're saying, this is it, gate closed, done, over, game over. And what I loved about each one of these stories is that that wasn't true, that there was always more and unusual and twists and turns that nobody could have expected. We need to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to hear more from Sherry about this, the 50-50 friendship flow, life lessons from and for my girlfriends. And we'll hear more about it, because I'm just fascinated by this and how people responded. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment, a philanthropic organization Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenil and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenil.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Sherry Lead. She's the author of this really fun book called 50-50 Friendship Flow, Life Lessons From and For My Girlfriends. And she challenged herself to look up 50 friends and really tell them from her heart what they meant to her. And each story that in it, and first off, I have to say, I love it because it's a quick and easy read. And that is a huge compliment from my part, someone who interviews lots of people. I read through this book very easily and enjoyed all of it because I read a lot of books, and I have to say the quick and easy reads are the best. What I loved about it was very uplifting in so many ways. And even though maybe the names like Tori reminds me, chapter 10 reminds me of one of my closest friends, like I said, could be same person, different name, you know?
Yes.
And she was all about get rid of the BS. And so I could see a lot of my own friendships, and I began to see sort of patterns of women. But let's talk a little bit about Tori, if you would, because get rid of the BS. I was just like, yes.
Yeah, Tori, yeah, she's wonderful. So Tori doesn't sugarcoat things, but she's not mean. She's not, you know, vindictive at all, but she doesn't sugarcoat things. So she's the friend that if I want an honest opinion, or if she says something, I know it's authentic and true and it's coming from her heart. And she's taught me, because I was raised, and she's polite. I'm not saying she's not polite, but I was raised to be polite.
Polite with air quotes there.
Yeah. So sometimes I think it kept me from being comfortable speaking my truth or speaking the full truth to spare somebody's feelings, maybe, or because I wanted to be perceived in a certain way. And that's not a healthy way to live. And watching Tori and the way she is able to speak authentically. And sometimes people may take it wrong, but it's not because of her delivery or because it's coming out of, you know, any mean-spirited place. Watching her live so authentically really has been a lesson for me to kind of mimic that and remember that it's more important to be authentic and be truthful. And you can do that in a kind way, than it is to kind of skirt around the issue or to be, you know, with our air quotes, polite or, you know, nice. She's taught me a lot about just communicating and being authentic.
Well, you know, what brought to mind is I've said on the show numerous times that there's two types of friends. The friends that will say, you look good in anything, great all the time, just perfect. And then there are other friends that will just lay it on the line. And sometimes you want to have tea with that girlfriend that's everything's perfect and, you know, it's all sunshine, roses and rainbows. And other times you really need the girlfriends that are like, girl, what is you doing?
Yes, exactly. You know, and then you listen to those girlfriends because you know that they're telling you exactly what they're seeing, and they're doing it because they don't want you to get hurt by someone else that doesn't care.
Oh, absolutely. I remember one time, and this was actually about someone I was dating at the time. A girlfriend took me aside and sort of did that girl talk, should I say. And of course, you have all sorts of excuses. You just don't understand, or blah, 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 And she was right. So learn my lesson. Listen to those people who can see things from the outside and see it from that different viewpoint. And the ones that are authentic and just do it from love, really, it's important for them to say, and it's important for you to listen and not make excuses. You just don't understand that. I mean, that was my big lesson. And that's, I think, why I connected with Tori. It flashed me back to that time when my girlfriend took me aside, sort of looked at me cross-eyed.
And it's a healthy way to live, I think, to be able to express your truth like that, as opposed to, keeping it bottled inside. So yeah, I'm very thankful for that lesson.
And I think it's healthy to have girlfriends like that and be big enough to say thank you instead of getting all ruffled and kerfuffled about it all. Just realizing that it comes from kindness and love. It doesn't come from being spiteful or jealous or any sort of meanness. I think that's the important thing. Sometimes we can take it that way, but realize that it's their way of looking out for you.
Yeah, those are the people that love us are the ones that will tell us.
Exactly, that it's just their viewpoint. I mean, you're gonna do what you're gonna do with the news, but it's important to get all sorts of viewpoints, I think. And another one, I'm just kind of going down memory lane, because another one I just loved, Dee Dee, and this is backtracking to clear back to, I think, early chapters, chapter four, I think. Simply Smile. And I just brought a delight. What a delight.
Yeah. And so in the book, there are pictures of each woman for most of the chapters. And I don't know, did you happen to notice Dee Dee's smile in her picture?
It's infectious. Yes.
And that's, and that's who she is. And that's what her lesson to me was, is the first time I met Dee Dee was this big smile that she had. And I met her at a mutual friend's birthday party. So it made sense that she was smiling there. But then after I got to know her, I learned, well, it wasn't just me that she was smiling at. She smiles at everyone. And and her smile is so genuine that people feel comfortable coming up to talk to her. There's a story in there about a homeless vet that she saw at a coffee shop, and he was looking at her. And my instinct might be to look away when a stranger is looking at me. Dee Dee smiles, and she gets, and he comes over and she ends up in this great conversation with him, and she's just so welcoming and warm to everyone. And it starts out with her smile. And I bet now, even though she's wearing a mask, I bet she's smiling with her eyes, and I'm sure it's just as welcoming.
Well, you can really smile with your eyes. Everybody sees your cheeks go up. If you smile, your eyes absolutely change. Lisa, you can always smile with your eyebrows and winking. I mean, people love that too. But that's my other life, as listeners know, my body language, nonverbal communication life. But the end of Dee Dee's, at the end of each chapter, actually, you have these wonderful little insights, quotes that you've written. And I remember, a roadblock in life is life's sign to take a detour. And I love that quote. I have a little note here about that quote, because I was like, oh my gosh, how many times that I've heard, talked to numerous people with autoimmune conditions who said, it changed my life. It woke me up. Would I wish that it didn't happen? Probably. But then again, I wouldn't be where I am right now if I hadn't had that roadblock, if that hadn't popped up. And they will just go through a whole list of wonderful things that have happened. And even for me, I wouldn't be doing the Autoimmune Hour just from 9 years ago. If you'd asked me that, the name of my podcast, it would not be the Autoimmune Hour. So some business related thing, probably. But anyway, I find that so fascinating. Do you have particular stories or things from your own life where you went, wow, that was a major roadblock, I thought it was the end, and then something amazing happened?
Every negative struggle that I've had in my life actually has turned into something beautiful when I look back on it. The first time that this happened to me was that catastrophic car accident that you referred to. I was hit head on. I was in college, my last year of college. A woman came across the highway and hit me head on. Accident, I was driving this little two-seater vehicle, and the accident was so significant that they had to cut me out of the car, and I was transported to Harborview Medical Center, which is our level one trauma center in Seattle. I had just turned 22. It was a month after my 21st birthday. I started out in the burn unit of Harborview because my face actually had so many lacerations from all the glass that had come in. I'd broken the side window with my face and glass came in. And I had significant orthopedic injuries too, but for me at 22, the facial injuries felt the worst. I mean, that was the disfigurement that was the most significant and affected me psychologically. I was also in a wheelchair for a period of time, but I went through all the kind of stages of grief with this accident and while I was in the hospital. And when I hit the stage of depression, it hit hard. And there was one night where I had been crying for 2 days, and the hospital janitor came in, the evening janitor. He had come in every single night, and he spoke to me that night and he said, "It will be okay." And he told me the doctors there were the best, but he said, "Don't worry, you will be okay." And for some reason, when he said that, I just knew he meant that I was going to be better. It was the way that he said that. It spoke to me, and it was like a switch went off and depression left. The next day I felt okay. I was ready to go through the therapy that they had me set up for at the hospital. I stopped talking to people for a while. And those words have sat with over the years, "We'll be okay." And so when things go back, I hear that janitor from that evening saying, "It will be okay."
Wow. I almost got chills as if that was some sort of angel or something that came in for you. Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. "It will be okay." Yeah, those are strong words, knowing that people can give you those sorts of gifts are amazing. Wow. I'm just going to have to center myself on that one. No, wow.
It is. It wasn't the doctors or all the amazing healthcare providers. It was the evening night shift janitor that really, I mean, his words have changed my life. His words came into my mind when I was going through my cancer treatments too and surgeries. It will be okay.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. Oh, I've got in my notes here that I'm not sure how to lead with that one. The next question here. Okay, settle myself. There was another one in there that it fascinated me, and that's Renee, and she talks about aiming for 80%. And I'm a recovering perfectionist, so let's talk about Renee's philosophy of aiming for 80%, because I was fascinated.
That one surprised me, because Renee is so at the time, well, I guess she still is, she's a single mom. You have two girls that are very active. She's in the finance industry, does really well in her field. She's volunteers on different organizations, sitting on boards. And every time I see her, she seems relaxed and happy. So I met with her to say, her life seems so balanced and she seems happy. How do you do this? And I was expecting her to tell me about charts and calendars that she had and her organization system. And she surprised me by saying, "I'm an 80%er. And she proceeded to explain that at a job review, she was told that she does everything well, but she always leaves the last 20% till the end, or the last 20% stresses out everyone else around her, even though they know she's going to get it done. So her supervisor said, "Renee, go for 80% and delegate 20%. And she took that, and she decided to do that not just in her profession, but also in her life. So she says, "I am great at the 80%. I decide what 20% I need to, I can let go of, and I let go of it." And that's how she maintains balance. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. We're always saying, "Let's go, let's do 100%. Let's go for 110%, which is ridiculous. No one could do 110%. So we set ourselves up for these numbers that really take away from different aspects of our life. So yeah, that one surprised me. And it's such a good lesson, right? Be an 80 percenter.
Because as I'm thinking, when I saw the headline of that, the chapter title of that one, I'm thinking of the old thing that it's the 20% of people that get it all done and the 80-20 rule and all of that about the 20% are the leads and the 80%. And but I loved how she had flipped that on its side and been able to look at it. And like I said, as a recovering perfectionist, I was like, that's one I have to work to implement. And work is the key in air quotes there too, because it's not always easy, but I enjoyed it. And the few times that I've succeeded since I read that chapter, I have to say, yes, I am happier. It is far less stressful to approach it from that point of view. That was really fascinating. Well, I can't believe this, Sherry. We're right up against our last commercial break here. We need to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to learn some more of these wonderful insights from these the 50-50 friendship flow, because as I said, they're great little stories about wonderful people in Sherry's life. So we'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Sherry Lead, and she is the author of The 50-50 Friendship Flow, Life Lessons From and For My Girlfriends. And I love the book. Now, it's not about autoimmune, but it is in many ways, I'm going to say it's about healing. It's about optimizing. If you've listened to the show before, you know I talk about optimizing, and that's doing one thing every day. It doesn't have to be big. It can just be saying thank you, thank you, thank you to the world that, you know, you were, your body kept breathing all night long. Doesn't have to be big things, although to me, that's a big thing. Be able to talk about things and optimize one thing in your life every day. And Sherry took it a bit further than that with, she challenged herself to find 50 friends, girlfriends from her past, and tell them what their friendship meant to her and how her life had been enhanced by knowing them. And I just love that idea. It got me into making my own list of who I would contact with that same type of idea. Now, there's one gal in there about living out loud. I'm trying to remember her name. I want to say Linda, but I could be wrong. But
you're
my
right.
Goodness, what a force.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she's amazing. And it's really interesting. So not too long after that date, actually, and I could share this because she talks about this, she had a stroke. And it ended up, she had a brain aneurysm it was operated on, and it ruptured during her operation. So she had been in intensive care for quite some time. She has since recovered, but so interesting because when I met with her and the purpose was to say, hey, you, I see you living out loud. This is a woman that shows up for all of her friends. She supports the arts in our city. She connects people. She's always naturally, when somebody needs something, she knows the person for them to connect with. And the reason she does is because she does live out loud. She shared with me that she believes that every day is a day to live. And a day not to be wasted. And so it's so interesting that she shared this message with me. And then she had this health scare that was very significant shortly after. And during this time, and she's doing well now, really well, she's living out loud again. But during this time, her message kept on coming back to me that, wow, you know, Linda is right. She did not waste a day, and you should not waste a day because you do not know what's going to happen. So she reminds me, and there's a favorite quote that I have that comes in the form of a question. And it is, if you knew today was the last day of your life, would you be doing what you are doing now? And that kind of reminds me of Linda too. And if we could all live out loud like she does every day, the answer to that question would always be yes.
Wow. Yeah, it was a wonderful thing. I am so glad to hear that she is doing much, much better and recovered. That is awesome. As I read her story, I was thinking, what a force. And there again, I could relate to someone in my world. It seems as if there's sort of categories of girlfriends here.
Yes.
Now, I didn't mention it before, but the book is written in the form of I don't want to say workbook, but an action plan and spaces with questions and journals. What was your format for reasoning for writing it in a, sort of an action plan?
I want the book to change a life. And I say a life because my goal is if it can touch somebody and take them to another way of thinking or better their life, that then I've done, my job is done. And in order to do this, I really wanted them to think about, like you said, it's easy read. The chapters are very short. It's not meant to be, you know, a long, difficult thing to get through. The point is the lessons learned and to reflect on them. Not my lessons, but as you said, so they can think about their own girlfriends, their own people in their life and how these lessons may reflect in their life. And I encourage people to read, you know, either a chapter a day, a chapter a week or something, and date the journal. There's a place to journal. And I like to suggest to date the journal because I journal. And what I like to do is every day after I write, I look back on the years prior to see what I've written in the years prior. I find that that reflection piece is really the important part of journaling that really adds something.
It's funny that you bring that up. My favorite thing that I learned from a mentor years ago about journaling is always write the first part on the right-hand side, leave the left-hand page blank, and then go back at a preset time. He used to do it monthly. I'm not quite as rigorous, but go back and read and write what's changed. And I found that fascinating and helpful. And as you were talking about these ideas of this too shall pass, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I found out some women are actually taking this book and going through it together with their girlfriends, sort of book club like, but they're going through each chapter in their circles of women and talking about it and how it relates to their lives. So that was something I wasn't planning for, but I think that's a wonderful idea.
Oh, absolutely. And I appreciated some of the questions. Now, I didn't write a whole lot, but some of the questions were very thought-provoking, especially as you just mentioned a thought-provoking quote about if this was your last day, would you be doing what you're doing? Wow, that one's you'd have to stop and think about for a while. Now, I want to make sure that we have more than enough time to talk about other things here, but I do want to talk about one of the people at the last chapter, chapter 50, is Michelle. I think it was Michelle, and how the energy Michelle brings changes the room.
Yeah. You know, when Michelle walks in a room, I noticed this from when I first met her, the energy of the room changes. She just uplifts the room. And we always think about people who do change the energy of the room, whether it be the negative energy or the positive energy. And I always thought that was other people that could do that. I never, for some reason, thought that that was me, that I could do that. So I wanted to meet with her and ask her where she got this from. How did she learn to do that? And her dad had this as well. And she sets an intention, and this is the way she lives. And I realized that I could change the energy of a room. I could walk in the room, and it's not about being loud or, you know, excitable or anything like that, but it's about walking to the room with positive energy and feeling confident and good and wanting to share that. I think the big thing is wanting to share that energy with other people. With that focus. And so she's really taught me about kind of how to enter a room.
Well, and I want to circle back. You said she sets an intention. And I don't want to wipe over that too easily, because to me, that's critical, whether you're setting an intention to walk in with positive energy and make sure everyone in the room feels some sparkles, shall I say. That's the, kind of what I got out of her story, is maybe she has some sort of sparkles. But also even setting the intention to get well, as you said with your story about the night janitor, you know, setting the intention that it'll be okay, or setting the intention that I will get well, or I will come through this challenge. This will happen. And I think setting intentions critically important as you, not only on your own healing journey, but as you talk to these 50 plus women, did you find that a lot of them set intentions?
A fair amount did, especially the ones who show up for a lot of people. There are a few women in, there are a few chapters in there where there are women, like there's one, a woman named Dana, and I call her the garnish because she always adds something to an event or to a meeting, just her presence there. And she said, every morning she says she sets an intention to show up. So she shows up. You know, there's a popular quote or meme that goes around social media that says something to the effect that my parents taught me to treat the janitor the same as the CEO. Mm-hmm. Well, that's who Dana is. She treats everybody the same. That's just not something she puts on social media, but she sets an intention every day to show up for everyone she meets.
I love that. Well, we're just down to 8 minutes. I want more than enough time to find out about you and the book. But any final thoughts before we have to wrap up?
You know, I think that there's a key to relationships and happiness and longevity and health. And putting the time and energy to friendships like this, there's a direct correlation to that and happiness. And I think everyone's ultimate goal in life is happiness. And there's also a correlation between happiness and longevity and health. And I think the more that we could sprinkle this into our lives, the healthier that, you know, we can all feel.
Okay. I want to circle back and just find out, when you say this, are we talking about making sure that people know what they've meant to our lives, or when we sprinkle this? Can you help me define this? Because I started sharing with some of my close friends. In fact, tomorrow, I've got a Zoom lunch date with a friend that I haven't spoken to in a year or so, starting a movement.
Yeah, sure. What I'm referring to is relationships. So there's, you know, you may have heard of the blue zones where people are living longer than other areas of the world.
Absolutely. And they're very healthy too.
Yes. And they found, you know, there are such different cultures, but one of the common factors in every blue zone is that there are very strong relationships, and that's relationships with the community, relationships with friends, relationships with family. And, you know, in the US, a lot of times we don't spend time with our relationships that they do in other cultures. And so knowing that this can affect our longevity, I think that spending time on relationships, putting an effort, you know, putting part of that 80% effort into relationships that may be missing in our lives.
Well, my hope is that maybe one meaning we can make out of the pandemic and the lockdown and the forced isolation separation is perhaps having a whole new understanding of what these relationships that we had taken for granted, perhaps what they mean to us now, once we've had been forced separation, what we can make of them when we're able to not just virtually hug, but to actually embrace each other and have moments of together. Be sure and share with us, how do we get your book, and tell us anything else you'd like us to know?
Sure. The book is on Amazon. It's available on Amazon. I'm also a women's life coach, and part of the book, if anyone's interested, there's a free life coaching session that comes with the book as well. But I'm just so thrilled to be here and to talk to you.
What is your website, Sherry? Be sure and let us know how we find out more about you.
So the website is www.animperfectlyperfectlife.com. So it's a mouthful. I didn't talk to a marketing expert before deciding on the name. It more describes my life. So, but it's animperfectlyperfectlife.com.
Yeah, I have to agree. When I first saw your email and I looked at it and did a double check, and I loved it once I got it, but when all those letters are strung together, it's a bit hard to read. So we'll have that over at understandingautoimmune.com. If you're walking or doing other things or didn't have a pencil and paper, we'll have the actual spelling on there, and it'll be a link so you can just click and meet Sherry and perhaps take her up on the challenge. Got any clues on the last couple of minutes how people can actually start a challenge and take you up on the 50-50 friendship flow challenge?
Sure. There's 5 steps, and you don't, like I said, it doesn't have to be 50 people. It could be 5 people, 10, whatever is manageable, but should be in a set amount of time because you want to push yourself to get this done. And now in a second round, I'm doing it through Zoom. It's 1, set a date. 2, set an intention. Think about what you're going to say about the person. 3, when you meet, share with them what you want to share. 4 is listen, ask questions, find out about this quality that you've seen in them. And the last one, which I think is the most important, is, you know, capture the moment. It doesn't have to be published like I did on social media, but somehow take a picture, journal about it, do something, because I think it's that reflection piece. Because once you start to record this, it's impossible not to live in gratitude after you see all these different people and what they've brought into your life.
I do. I love it. I love it very much. Everyone, check out the book, The 50-50 Friendship Flow, as well. And just one quick note, all these pictures are awesome. Did you happen to take them?
No, I have a wonderful friend, and she's in the book. Her name's Natalie Wallace.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize she was the photographer that took the pictures. Wonderful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, it's, yeah, they,
because I love that. I love the consistency, being coming from a design background. I love the consistency of all the photos. Just yes. A side note, everyone, my own comments there. Anyway, I love the book, and that Sherry Lead and the 50-50 Friendship Flow. Be sure and check it out. And again, the website is, go ahead, Sherry, because I'll mess it up.
That's www.animperfectlyperfectlife.com.
Fantastic. Everyone, have a great week, whatever your adventures. Join us over at Facebook at Understanding Autoimmune. Join us at Twitter, Understanding Autoimmune, as well as drop over to the website and check us out there too at understandingautoimmune.com. See you next week. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.
Take the next few moments now to get comfy. Move about all those little nooks and crannies. Shake your fingers and your toes, making sure every little bit gets comfy right now. Take some nice deep inhales and extend the exhales, letting it go with a sigh. That's right. The vibration of the sigh actually shakes loose all those internal nooks and crannies. So just take some nice deep inhales and exhales and let it go with a sigh. When you're ready, wander over to your favorite spot. You know the place, where you enjoy all the colors, savor all the smells. Play with the colors and the textures, just looking all around and relaxing deeper. That's right. Letting go of all the stresses of the day. Taking a moment to enjoy your little mini vacation here. That's right. Feeling the breeze on your face and savoring the smells as you delight in the colors dancing about. Continue to breathe deep, letting go of all the stress in your body. Knowing that you don't need the stress, that it's not serving a purpose, so let it go. Transform any little last inklings to a feeling of comfort and tingling. Enjoy the little tingles as it releases and let it go. That's right. Savoring and anchoring this moment, this place, this comfort, with a little roadmap marker in your mind, knowing that you can come back here any place, anywhere, anytime, and reactivate the stress-free moments to begin again, renew and refresh as you begin to come back to the present moment, awake, alert, and ready to begin your day again. That's right. Welcome back.